GM in Tech Online, JBA here, and welcome to episode 5 of Diversity and Mentorship in Technology, where we chat with some incredible entrepreneurs and experts about diversity, mentorship, careers, and business in technology each and every week. That's right, 52 times a year. So each week you can come away more enlightened and ready to reach those long sought after opportunities. Are you an entrepreneur who's trying to grow your business but feel like you can't get to that next level? Well, DMIT, we started a private community of business owners, revenue generators, and entrepreneurs who are making it happen. Visit revenuethinktank.com and connect with other like-minded entrepreneurs who have built and are running successful businesses and can help you grow yours. Entrepreneurial groups are one of the best ways to get honest and direct feedback on your business. So apply now as there are limited spots available. RevenueThinkTank.com. Before we bring out our guest, we always highlight the topic of the week, which we'll discuss in detail during the post-show conversation. Now, let's get ready to chat with our featured guest, Ed Finkler. So Ed, are you ready to have a conversation about diversity and mentorship in technology?
I am absolutely ready to have that one.
Awesome. Ed Finkler, also known as Funkatron, twitter.com/Funkatron, started making websites before browsers had frames. He does full stack work in Python, PHP, and JavaScript. Ed is the founder and chairman of Open Sourcing Mental Illness, osmihelp.org, a nonprofit 501c3 dedicated to raising awareness and supporting those with mental illness in the tech industry. He served as web lead and security researcher at the Center for Education and Research in Information Assurance and Security at Purdue University. For about 9 years, along with Chris Hartjes, Ed is the co-host of the Development Hell podcast, devhell.info. He also writes at funkatron.com. So Ed, take a step back, fill in some gaps from that intro about growing up and what made you the man you are today.
Oh gosh, what made me the man I am today? That's a good question. I guess, that's a big one. I think that at the end of the day, mental health issues, which are the things that I'm sort of focused on the most. Those are the things that I think about probably the most in mental health and tech. Those are things that I've been dealing with my whole life. And particularly I suffer from ADHD and I have generalized anxiety disorder. And those are things that I deal with every day, and I have for a very, very long time. I first started getting some sort of treatment for it when I was a teenager, and I'm 42 now, so it's been a pretty long going process. And it's been a chronic issue. They have been chronic issues for me. And then to go along with the tech stuff, it's just I've always really been interested in computers. And enjoyed that stuff. My first computer was a Commodore 64. I could spend hours and hours messing around with it, playing games, doing different stuff with it. And have always spent a lot of time and really enjoyed the time invested in playing with it and creating things with it, doing things like graphic design. I did fanzines when I was a teenager and in college, and I did those on the computer. So did self-publishing, that kind of thing. And actually the self-publishing stuff was really what led me into being a web developer, because that was sort of in some ways a next logical step for getting into that. So I started doing that in college, when it was, very, very primitive compared to today. And, from there, it's really, I haven't ever had sort of like a great career plan or anything like that. It's always been about, things have just have worked out. I've been in good positions. I've had pretty decent jobs. And then I've had some opportunities to do some special things, and especially open sourcing mental illness has been the thing that I think has been the most significant thing in my life in terms of doing something that I think makes a difference in people's lives. And that has been extremely satisfying and gratifying for me.
That's great. And one of the things I know we talked about in the pre-show was the open sourcing mental illness, which is the topic of the week, which we'll talk about after in the post-show. But it's a big topic, which I myself didn't even realize after researching. It was such a prevalent issue just in general outside of tech, but specifically in tech as well. Yep. What would you consider at this point in your career your area of expertise?
Well, if you're talking about area of expertise in terms of my technical skills, I'm a pretty good developer in terms of web application development. I have a strong background in a lot of technical skills, JavaScript, PHP, some Python, things like that. I think that I have a good ability to sort of bring things together that oftentimes people don't make connections with. That's one of the things that I think that I do well is that I make I make connections quickly between things that sometimes seem disparate. I have experience in a lot of different areas, so it's a lot of sort of holistic, you know, how things fit together on a high level kind of background, and I think that that helps me a lot. And then I think that I'm a good communicator, and I think I really emphasize this strongly is being empathetic towards the people who I'm interacting with, trying to understand where they're coming from, listening, communicating with them in a way that helps them feel understood and appreciated. And I think those are really the areas of expertise that I feel like I have. I, of course, have a fair bit of expertise in terms of how things fit into the workplace in terms of mental health issues and things like that. And that's something that I've been working on the past several years too. So particularly in tech. So those I think are sort of the areas where I really feel like I've got that solid sort of background.
Gotcha. And what would you say your first application that you built, whether it was a success or failure, what was that like for you?
Oh gosh, what was the first? I've dabbled and done a few different things. I remember I made an OS X only or OS 10, however you want to pronounce it, for the Mac. I made an MP3, a CD ripper, an MP3 encoder called Lame Brain, and it was moderately successful. It was an open source tool. Some people seemed to really like it. It doesn't work on new Macs anymore. I haven't updated it in 10 years at least or something like that, but it was an enjoyable process. And that was me just having something I was interested in doing. And that's always been the way that I've learned is I've learned based on there's something that I want to do. And I sort of take advantage of that and that's what powers me through learning new stuff. And I learned a new development platform. I learned how to, create desktop applications. And all those things kind of fit together for me came together to build that. So, it was a really enjoyable process. It wasn't something that ever made me any money. I gave it away for free. And that's sort of been typical. I've never been much of a traditional entrepreneur in that respect. I did enjoy the process quite a bit. And, sometimes I'm a little nostalgic about working on that again.
Indeed. If you do, I'd love to take a look at that.
Sure.
What I'd like to do now is kind of go and share with our listeners the biggest challenge or setback that you've had to overcome in your life and sort of your darkest moment, so to speak. And don't hold back, just something that you feel that you've overcome.
Well, the hardest things that I've had to deal with have been episodic depression and the anxiety issues that I have. And so I can't necessarily speak to one. I could give you a lot of examples because it's been a chronic issue that I've dealt with. But there have been times where I've been in very dark places and really felt like I wasn't I wasn't effective at being a person who exists in this world and this society. And sometimes it feels like you'd be better off not being there. And I've had some pretty dark times in that regard. And I've been lucky enough to be able to pull through that. And I've been, treated in terms of being actively involved in my treatment and taking medication, seeing therapists, working on that stuff well, and having people around me who are supportive of those kinds of things. but you know, sometimes it's been, sometimes, yeah, it might have been a project-based thing or something like that. But most of the time it was, it can be triggered by those kinds of things, but, and it certainly affects my ability to, feel confident in what I'm doing, to feel like I'm doing the right kinds of things, to feel motivated. But the hardest things have been those times where I really felt like, you know, the way that my brain works, the way that I work, it seems like other people are able to get through this stuff okay, and I'm not able to. And the worst part of that, by far the worst part of that, is that feeling that you're alone in that regard, and that other people aren't like you. They all seem to be able to get by okay. But, you know, what I've learned over the course of the years has been that that's just not true, that there's lots of people who deal with problems like this. And for one, you know, fortunately, unfortunately, probably neither, really, we tend to be good at hiding those kinds of things and hiding our doubts and our fears and our the difficulties that we have, instead of being able to speak about them openly, because we're scared of being vulnerable.
Absolutely.
And that's understandable. Yeah, absolutely. So that's, you know, there's a number of things I could think of that, you know, I've been in tough places and just felt like it was hard to get through. And for one reason or another, I've been able to kind of pull that through. If I was talking about project wise, I think one of the things that was toughest was I did, I don't know if you remember Palm's WebOS project that they did, where they did it was really based on web technologies. They released a phone and a tablet.
Yes. Yeah. I was a big Palm person. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I made a Twitter client that was kind of the longest running one. It launched with the project and stuck around longer than any other ones that were on there. It was called Spaz. And I think that one of the hardest things I remember dealing with was when HP decided to just, you know, 6 weeks in, shut down all the WebOS stuff, and they weren't going to do that anymore. And that was really, really hard. And that was really difficult to see all the work that you put in there just kind of get flushed down the toilet. And that was tough. That was really tough. Was that the hardest thing I've ever had to deal with in my life? No, I've had harder things, and things that were related to relationships and things like that, and the interactions that we have with one another, and my own self-doubt and difficulties with that. But that was a really tough one. That was a really tough one. And I decided that I just needed to move on to other things and kind of set that aside. And that's what I did. And have just gone on and done other stuff, and it's been okay. But it's, you know, that was a really hard one. That was a hard one.
Well, DMIT, those are some awesome lessons there. I just want to highlight, as Ed mentioned, you know, one of the biggest things that's important in your life is find people who support your endeavor, whether they be friends, family, not necessarily family even. You may find people who support you who are total strangers. So that's really important in your life, especially if you're an entrepreneur or just, you know, having something that you're doing, and having that support group is really important. As I know, the web, if you're a developer or you're a designer, sometimes can be isolating. And like Ed said, everyone has their own problems. You know, you may see, oh, this person looks like they have it all together, and really they may not, you know? So yeah. As I mentioned, kind of follow your own path, do what works for you. And remember that it's something of a journey that you have the support to get through and keep going no matter what. As Ed mentioned, said HP shut down the program, some entrepreneurs building something, and Google changes their update, or one of the technology companies does something that affects your business. Don't stop, keep going, because you never know what's around the corner, and you really have to keep pushing forward. So that's really some good advice, and I definitely support that advice that Ed gave. Next question, Ed. Do you believe that, or what does diversity mean to you, rather? Is it something that in today's technology environment, there's hundreds of different viewpoints on what technology means, from diversity candidates, you know, whether it's gender diversity, you mentioned illness, right, which is another type of diversity candidate, if you will, applying into technology. What does that mean from a general perspective for you?
Well, I think at the end of the day, what it means is bringing in people with different backgrounds and different experiences, and being able to learn from being able to gain all the positive things that you get out of that, the different experiences that you bring in and are able to work with, they help inform you and help you make better decisions. I think, I believe pretty strongly that there's, we have a tendency as I think as human beings is that we tend to surround ourselves with people like us. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the natural tendency. But I believe it's in the interests of organizations to actively work on bringing in people with different backgrounds and different experiences and find those, find those folks and have that, put them in positions where they can help inform the decision making, where they can help inform processes. And for me, that's fundamentally, that's what that comes down to. And so that those different backgrounds and experiences can kind of come from a lot of different things. They can be issues of, they can be things like different genders. They can be different people from different socioeconomic backgrounds. They can be people from different ancestry or upbringings. They can be from people who are differently neurodiverse. I certainly believe that supporting people in terms of mental wellness and supporting people who have, for example, mental health issues, that's a matter of diversity too, is supporting those folks too. So it's, I think there's a couple areas where it focuses on, and it's kind of obvious where it's thinking about like gender diversity and racial diversity and things like that. Ultimately, what it comes down to is that idea of getting people from different backgrounds and getting them involved and having a diverse set of ideas, backgrounds, experiences to call from to able to make the best decisions that you can.
Absolutely. Do you think that it's more prevalent in a startup environment or a corporate company? If you look at the hiring policies or just in general, do you find that excluding, illness, mental illness as a diversity topic, it's more prevalent or more acceptable in corporate environments or startup environments?
Boy, I think that varies a lot. I think if you're talking about, it's hard to say. I think that startups oftentimes tend to bring on people who they know and or are like them. And so I think it's hard. I think it's often hard for startups to be particularly diverse. And unless they make a conscious decision to seek that out. And oftentimes I think that's sort of that, it's hard because it's, again, the people you know are usually people like you.
Exactly.
So your tendency is going to be to work with people you know and trust because it's early on and things like that.
Or think like you. Exactly.
Yeah, or think like you. Exactly. And so that's, I can understand that really, but at the same time, there is also this, aspect of it that can make that difficult. And I think that you're missing out on a lot of opportunity there too. Maybe what that says is that you should be embracing diversity in your social groups too. and trying to seek that out to some extent. And so that you can find more people that you trust that you might be able to bring in on those kinds of things. But I think that makes it tougher sort of in a startup area. I haven't dealt a lot with, or I haven't been in a lot of large corporate culture kinds of things. I think it varies to some extent. I think oftentimes you'll have more diversity work that gets done in those kinds of areas. Mm-hmm. Is it sometimes, if you're talking about say like mental health diversity or neurodiversity kinds of things, I think it varies. I think sometimes that's tolerated a little better in startup stuff. Sometimes it's not at all. It depends on sort of what the startup is like and what the culture is like there, whether it's, really hardcore and kind of run things into the ground sort of stuff. I think that's not very healthy. And I think that's problematic in a lot of areas. On the other hand, if you have sort of a sort of lockstep, stodgy corporate culture, I think that people can get pretty afraid of dealing with mental health issues in an effective way. And oftentimes they don't. and they don't know what to do exactly with that. And I think that can be problematic. So I'm not sure I'd say they're better or worse in different areas. I think they're just it can be different the way it is. Diversity as a whole, I think probably is in some ways harder to do in a startup, like for the reasons that I expressed though.
I agree. I mean, that's something that I remember when I had my startup with David, my co-founder with Smart Money. He was my MBA class. It was like, hey,
right,
you want to start something? And so absolutely, it makes it a little harder because people that you think like you or friends or in your social circle, if it's not that expansive or you're not actively consciously thinking about it, you can miss out on opportunities. And on the corporate side, which I've been on, especially in finance, there's sometimes still tend to be a like group think mentality. So it can be difficult on both sides. Last question before we get into the lightning round. What's one message you would give to younger people looking to get into technology or just graduating from college per se?
Well, I think what I'd say is that just make sure that you are fair to yourself and take care of yourself, that you work on making sure that you have time for yourself, that you're not, say, working excessive hours, that you are enjoying life as a whole. I think there's a tendency, particularly among technologists and programmer types, to sort of, they view themselves as a programmer, not as this is a job that I do. And that's, you know, there's pluses and minuses to that. But what I do think is that I think there's a tendency to sort of to have some bad habits in terms of that can lead to burnout, that can lead to unhappiness and general, you know, mental health issues. And I think that a lot of that has to do with, you know, the hours that you work, the amount of, you know, are you getting enough sleep? Are you eating decently? Are you just taking care of yourself? And I think that understanding out of the box that you deserve to take care of yourself and that you deserve to be treated well and that you should be working generally 50, 60, 70 hours a week, that's a bad move for most people. That those things are important. And that it matters and it makes a big difference. And it might feel like, especially if you're starting off, that it doesn't matter so much and that you can sort of push those crazy hours and things like that. But that stuff catches up with you. And I think maintaining that, you know, sort of taking care of yourself, that self-care kind of stuff, I think is really, really essential. And I've seen that happen a lot. I think the second thing that I'd say is, especially for people who are sort of just starting off in terms of looking into IT or being a programmer, being a developer, that kind of thing, I think the other side of it is to not underplay how important things that are not technical skills are in your work. That being able to communicate, being able to listen empathetically, being able to interact with people effectively, those things are just as important as your technical background and your technical skills. And if you want to be really, really good at what you do, you have to be able to do those things too. So those are both what I'd say really, you know, essential things that go into being good at what you do. And you're going to be a happier and healthier and a better developer because of it.
Indeed. And then one of the phrases I always use is health before wealth, because if you're not healthy, you know, the wealth, you know, you're not going to be able to spend what you do earn. So that's really great.
Yeah. It doesn't do any wealth doesn't make you happy.
Exactly.
Right? You'd be a miserable mofo no matter what, how much money you've got. So
absolutely. Yeah. So we're going to stop there now and we're going to move on to what we call the lightning round with Ed. And so what we'll do is we'll do that right after we get back from a word from our sponsors. If you've been listening, you know our site is hosted on wpinterns.com. If you ever wanted to build a website but wasn't sure where to begin, WP Interns can help. WP Interns is an infrastructure website builder and WordPress interns who just worry about the design, all for $5 a month. If you need help tweaking your designs, but don't know HTML or CSS, they have incredible and affordable designers who can help you build the dream site you always wanted. Sign up today at wpinterns.com. And we're back on DM in Tech with Ed. Now, for those who are not familiar with our lightning round, here's how it's played. We ask our guest a series of 6 questions, of which 5 of those questions must be answered correctly in order to win the prize. Now, our guest will have 90 seconds to answer those questions. 3 general questions, 1 true or false, 1 fill-in-the-blank question, and, of course, a question from our audience that's pre-submitted. This week's surprise question is from Tim from Minnesota. So thanks, Tim. Ed, are you ready to play the lightning round?
I think I'm ready as I'm ever going to be.
Awesome. So remember, you'll have 90 seconds to answer, so quick answers are best. And here we go.
Okay.
Should students start off their career in a startup or go the corporate route?
I think a corporate route is a good idea and a lot of times. So I'd give that a shot, but I keep an ear open for startups.
What's a company you admire?
There's a really good company called Keen.io that has this really great employee coaching program, and that's one, Keen.io.
What's one piece of technology you're excited about for the future?
I'm really excited about Vue.js. I think that's a really cool platform that I think is going to a lot of people are using for doing cool front end stuff. And Vue.js, V-U-E.js.
True or false? Approximately 1 in 5 adults in the U.S., 43.8 million or 18.5%, experience mental illness in a given year.
That is true.
The inventor of the World Wide Web is?
Oh, my gosh. Why can't I? Tim Berners-Lee? Is that him? Yeah. Let's say yes.
Yeah. And surprise multiple choice question. Which of these languages came first? A, Python, B, PHP, C, ASP.NET, MVC, D, Ruby on Rails.
I think Python was first.
Congratulations. You actually successfully passed the lightning round.
Oh, my gosh. I'm surprised at that. I'm very surprised at that. Okay.
So you'll receive a customized DMNT backpack. So carry all your cool tech gear, which we'll take care of after the show, embed it with our logo. But congrats again, and stay right there because we're going to have a final word from our sponsors. Want to build a website but not sure where to turn? WP Interns can help. WP Interns is an online platform that allows you to get your website up and running quickly and efficiently using the popular WordPress content management system. No more hassling with plugin security. And in fact, WordPress Interns was built for the non-tech person who wants to get their website up and running quickly. We use the platform here at DM and Tech, and the best part about it, it's only $5 a month. So if you need some help tweaking your designs, they have incredible and affordable designers who can help you build the dream site you've always wanted. Sign up today at WordPressWPInterns.com. Are you an entrepreneur who's trying to grow your business but feel like you can't get to that next level? Well, DMIT, we've started a private community of business owners, revenue generators, and entrepreneurs who are making it happen. Visit RevenueThinkTank.com and connect with other like-minded entrepreneurs who have built and are running successful businesses and can help you grow yours. Entrepreneurial groups are one of the best ways to get honest and direct feedback on your business, so apply now as there are limited spots available. RevenueThinkTank.com. And we're back. You've been hanging out with JBA and Ed Finkler at DM in Tech. I always continue the conversations with our guests after the show. So if you want to hear more of our behind-the-scenes discussion with Ed and myself, stay tuned. Now, Ed, whenever you're ready, I want to end today on DMIT with a parting piece of guidance you can provide to our listeners, the best way we can connect with you, and then we'll say adios.
All righty. I think that a parting piece of advice that I might give is to just try to be start to be more aware of sort of your mental health and mental wellness, being willing to think about those things and think about when things are going well or maybe not so well, and think about things that you can do in terms of just self-reflection, self-awareness of those kinds of things, and understanding what are the things that you can do to maybe help yourself or help others to do that. I think one of the best resources you can go to is, frankly, osmihelp.org. That is our website for open sourcing mental illness. And we have resources there that are designed for people to help them work on these kinds of things. And I think that that stuff is really essential, really important. And obviously I started a nonprofit about it, so I must think it's important. So that's that would be sort of, I guess, my parting advice for you. The best ways to get a hold of me are you can contact us via the website, osmihelp.org, or you can get us on Twitter at osmihelp, H-E-L-P. Or you can hit me at my personal account, which is just Funkatron, F-U-N-K-A-T-R-O-N, on Twitter. And those are usually the best ways to get a hold of me.
Awesome, man. So we're going to stop there. And as I mentioned to the guest listeners, you can listen to more of our conversation on the bonus episode. But Ed, I want to thank you again for coming on the show, and hope our listeners have gotten, I'm sure, some valuable insight from you. And we'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks very much.
Want to know how to get your amazing e-commerce store up and running, but don't know how to hire the right people or where to find them? Well, DMIT, you can take our online course, Building Your Website, where we take a look at the steps dedicated to building your own website and succeeding online. Our team discusses what we did right and mistakes along the way that you can avoid. We also share some amazing resources that can help you on your journey to start your own online store. Want to hear more from Ed as we dive into the topic of the week with our post-show discussion and commentary? Then click Give Me Premium Access button on the top right of the website at dmintech.com. As a subscriber, you'll be able to access exclusive bonus content and our archived catalog of episodes. And don't forget our wonderful sponsor, WPinterns.com. Until next time, I want to thank our guest, Ed, for coming on the show. And for those of you listening, stay unique, stay diverse.